Hi, this is Alan Chartok. September is Suicide Month across the U.S., and joining us today to discuss this delicate topic, as well as suicide prevention, are two distinguished guests. Laura Marks is the Area Director of the Capital Region Chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, AFSP. She holds a master's degree in psychology. She is a Safe Talk Suicide Alertness for Everyone trainer and has presented on numerous occasions to groups young and old on depression awareness and suicide prevention. AFSP is the leading national not-for-profit organization exclusively dedicated to understanding and preventing suicide through research, education, and advocacy, and to reaching out with people with mental disorders and those impacted by suicide. Also joining us is an old friend of this radio station, who we dearly love, Mary Jo Gibson, a licensed clinical social worker, crisis intervention teacher, and wife of New York Congressman Chris Gibson, and one of four congressional spouses from across the country who have joined the cause by co-chairing a series of symposia and other events to raise awareness about suicide. Mary Jo will give us an update on their first-year efforts. Mary Jo, thanks for being here, and thanks for your hard work on this.
Well, thank you, Alan. I truly appreciate this opportunity to be here and talk about this very, very serious issue. And the group is now over a year, that the spouses group, which is growing.
These are the congressional spouses.
The congressional spouses group. And we have symposiums in D.C. and discussing the issue of suicide. We have speakers come in when the spouses happen to be in town. We arrange it around their schedule. And then the spouses can do op-ed pieces. They can do radio, like we're doing right now, talking about this issue and trying to take away the stigma of discussing this topic and the importance of reaching out for, in many cases, for mental health issues to avoid one from taking their own life. And basically, after we also, there's an opportunity for if members, spouses, as well as the congressional members want to do public service announcements, which in May, there was a series of PSAs that were done and are now being distributed throughout the country to the areas and where the members and their congressional spouse live, so they could participate in that. They can get to know it as they like to get to know some of the chapters of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention in their areas, so they can attend whether they have meetings in those areas or they have out of the darkness walks, which in New York, a few that are going on is September 15th, September 21st, September 28th. These are some of the walks that are going on throughout New York if people wanted to attend. And those are survivors of suicide, family members and friends that have had someone who has taken their life. And these are walks that my husband and I participated in one last year, and I'm going to be in the one in Columbia. Green has one, as I said, on the 28th and the 21st, which is the walk over the Hudson. Chris and I will both be at. So these are different things that we can get involved in to heighten the awareness and understanding and for people to know that they're not alone.
So are we swimming upstream here? Let's go to Laura Marks. Laura, are we swimming upstream? Is this getting harder to do? Are there more suicides? Where are we?
Well, we do know that the suicide rate continues to increase. The latest numbers we have from the Centers of Disease Control in 2010, we have about 38,000 suicides a year in the United States. And that number increased from around the 36,000 mark the prior year. The highest level of suicides, the most at risk right now, is middle-aged men, so ages 45 to 54. So we do know
that. Why is that? Do we know?
We're not exactly sure. The suicide is a very complex. There's many factors.
Yeah, but obviously, if you take a particular age group, then there's something that's triggering it in that age group, right?
They don't know exactly what that is yet. We do know that the economy can play a role in some of that. We also know that the numbers across, especially in New York State, suicides are reported differently in each county. So as we continue to work to make each county report them the same, the numbers may continue to increase. So, for example, there are some counties in the North Country that will only report it as a suicide death if there's a note that's left. And many times there's not a suicide note, so it's counted as something else.
So if we read in the paper, died suddenly at home, home, mm-hmm. often, not always, but often, that's suicide, yes?
It could be. Some families don't want to report it as such because of the stigma that does go along with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Mary Jo.
And I just want to also share that 90% of those who do take their lives have shown to have some form of mental health issue. So whether it's been diagnosed in paperwork, may not be, but often someone has had depression or anxiety and may not have been able to get the appropriate treatment that they needed.
Okay. So because we have only limited time, if we suspect somebody has been thinking about suicide, what should we do?
Well, okay. There are warning signs that we look for. So we know people who maybe are beginning to be isolated, have some kind of a loss, maybe loss in a relationship, loss in a job, a financial loss.
But what if a young man says to his parents, I've been thinking about suicide. Mm-hmm. Should they do something?
Absolutely. Yes. I just had this conversation the other day. Real life, a mother called me and she was worried about her child. And so there are resources, and that's what we want to know, is we want people to be aware that it's a possibility, and then we want them to know what the resources are. So, for a child, you can start with the school. There's guidance counselors in school. There's school psychologists. You can go to your pediatrician, find a therapist. If they're in a crisis, we ask them to call the Lifeline number. So we have the Suicide Prevention
what
Lifeline.
Is that?
Which is 1-800-273-TALK. Mm-hmm. And again, it's 1-800-273-TALK. And if they press number 1, if you're a veteran, you will actually directly speak with a veteran. But it is the national hotline. And
is it a big problem with veterans? Suicide?
Yeah, it is. I have to say, though, they are doing many things in the military to address this. And in fact, this month, within September, is they do a stand down, which they do a lot of resilience for the families. There's a lot of focus on this issue.
Stand down is
they refer to this term in this week, and in some places it's a month. In New York State, they're doing it for the month, but in the military, they'll do particular focus on the Army. It's called stand down. And what they do that week is they really focus on the soldiers and the families and the wellness. And when I also another thing that's very important to think about is they do trainings for the soldiers to identify signs in other soldiers so that they can refer them, because there are many resources, which not a lot of people know that, but there are a lot of resources.
But isn't it more prominent among veterans now than it used to be?
Well, it's both. I mean,
the rate is continuing to increase with veterans as well.
Yes. Yeah. And I also want to share with you one other thing about for veterans, as you're mentioning, was there's a veteranscrisisline.net, which is an online, which has been recent since we've had spoken, you and I, Alan. And this is a combination between the VA and American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. And I actually would like, if Laura has a moment, if she could share a few thoughts on that particular program of the dialogue that goes online for the veteran.
Let me go back to Laura because I have a question and we're sort of running out of time here. Laura, I'm sort of interested in when, as a suicide, prevention specialist, how does it happen? I mean, you go to a doctor's office and they give you 50 questions. And one of those questions is always, have you ever thought about suicide? And I'm thinking that, and maybe this is naive on my part, that a lot of suicides happen in a given moment. Somebody gets real depressed or whatever, thinks it's futile, and kills him or herself. As opposed to if we could get them through that one moment or that 30 mm-hmm. seconds, it wouldn't be happening. Am I wrong or right about that?
Both.
Yes, okay.
Sometimes suicides seem very sudden for people. If we go back and actually look at it, you will see some of the warning signs. Some may be more subtle than others. It would be really easy if everyone could just flash a sign and say, I'm thinking about suicide, but sure. It doesn't work that way. But if you go back and look, we often do see some of the warning signs that could have clued us into something going on. Now, in the moment, that's why we do talk a little bit about means restriction. So in the moment, if you can stop someone from that, taking that leap, mm-hmm. then we could help because they could have a chance to think.
Sure.
So that's why sometimes they'll put bridge signs up on the bridge to call the Lifeline. So if someone is thinking In that way, they could call the Lifeline number to help them. That's why we look at pills and blister packs, because it takes longer to open a blister pack than it does to open a bottle of pills. So kind of delaying
blister packs,
those
are the things with a little pieces of
yes,
very
that take
hard,
you forever yeah, to open yeah, up yeah, the, yeah, the right. pill. So right. That people get annoyed at, but it's helpful to someone if they're on the edge and thinking about taking their life, because it delays that moment.
Are there drugs that we know are particularly offensive when it comes to suicide? So, for example, I just had a back operation. My doc gave me something like OxyContin, which I didn't take, by the way, because the whole thing scares me to death. But are there particular drugs that we think have been leading to this epidemic?
I don't know of any particular drug usage that people take more often than another. I think it's what people have access to.
Yeah.
But you bring a very good point up. It's very important when, as you asked, what do you do when someone is talking about it? And if you see signs, it's important to bring them to a physician, to a mental health professional, to the hospital, if they are talking that they are feeling suicidal. And because a doctor, they need to evaluate if they are on medication, that particular medication may not be effective for them. Mm. And I think it's important people don't give up hope. They need to have a reassessment of where they're at and know that, you know, where there's help, there's hope, and they need to continue the process and know that they're not alone. And that person who is the one they talk to, they can say, how are you feeling? What are you feeling? And let's go and get you help.
But it's the scary thing, mm-hmm. Mary Jo, mm-hmm. and Laura, are people who ordinarily aren't self-identifiers. Mm-hmm. They don't Correct. Say, I'm thinking about suicide. They're walking down Madison Avenue in New York City or, you know, a place in Albany or Columbia County, and then all of a sudden this brilliant idea comes to kill themselves. And it's momentary, it's passionate, and they feel it, and we can't identify them. That's got to be very scary for you.
But when we can, and part of what we mm-hmm. teach in the Safe Talk is that you ask the question. So you're looking at the warning signs, and you have to ask in an open and direct way, are you thinking of suicide?
Sure.
And unless you ask that question, you're never going to know the answer.
Yeah. Yeah, and the more it's discussed in schools and they are involved in education in the school system, I think when people have developed life skills and they come into a situation where they feel a crisis, and that's what that moment is a crisis for them, they can have resources how to handle that particular crisis.
But won't there be somebody out there right now who's listening to what you just said and say, if you discuss it, you even raise, it's like the old argument about condoms. If you discuss it, you make it available to people who might not have considered it otherwise.
We often that's a myth, and we often talk about that, especially when we're talking to students. And so I'll say to them, you know, before everybody leaves this classroom, hand me $5 so I can go on vacation. How many people are going to do that? It's just because I said it doesn't mean it's going to happen. People just aren't that susceptible to information like that. And because I say the word suicide is not going to make people think it. If they're thinking it, it's already been in their head way before I said it.
Okay, gang, let's have the stats one more time. If you're a veteran, you call.
Well, actually, the 1-800-273-TALK is for everyone and to call if they are at risk. And if you press number one, that person would get the veteran line. So it is a general number. The 1-800-273-TALK is a general number, but then they press one for a veteran to reach out.
And I have to say to you guys, I hope we're not going to hear music if somebody calls up that's going to keep you on the line holding for 30 minutes, because that could do it right there during that time.
They have trained people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to answer the phone. And that's our first source of defense for people, is call the Lifeline if you're in crisis.
We're out of time. Thank you for both for being here. Laura Marks is the area director of the Capital Region Chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, AFSP. Also with us was licensed clinical social worker and crisis intervention teacher Mary Jo Gibson, who is joined with other congressional spouses on a committee designed to confront the issue of suicide. Thank you both for joining us. If there ever was God's work, you're both doing it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Alan. Thank you.